Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Croppens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome to your show. It's Monday, and this is Real Housewives of Atlanta Day. As usual, if you want this on video, you can get that at Patreon. It's also where you get our bonus episodes. This week's bonus is going to be a trailer trash for Real Housewives of New York City, The Return. So we'll be doing that. We do Amazon Lives every Monday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. And we also do Crappy Hour every other Monday at 5:30 Pacific time. Sorry, Amazon Live is every Monday. Crappy Hour Live is every other Monday. Tonight is a Crappy Hour Monday. So we'll be on at 5:30 Pacific time. It's free on YouTube and Patreon and Instagram. So find us any of those places. Get links to all of this stuff and our link in bio on good old Instagram. Hey, everybody.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa, a whole week kicks off right now, okay? Very excited.
Yeah.
So, Real Housewives of Atlanta, I mean, they're definitely they're getting to the finish line of their season finale this coming Sunday.
Yes. And this was the penultimate episode.
Yeah.
Season 17, episode 16, Halloween Hot Pocket.
I feel
still going. I think it's way too many episodes for this season, as we've said multiple times. This season needed a good 12 episodes.
It was 12.
That said, I was cracking up at a lot of parts of this episode. I mean, it really did have a lot of classic Housewives tropes. It had the starting a business with no business, actually, like having a business launch when you don't have the business. It's very She by Sheree, you know, rum bum with no rum. How dreadful. You know, it's very that. Then we had, you know, the guy with the cheating allegations showing up at the party to confront people.
Well, it felt like kind of like a last gasp just to get to 18 episodes. I'm going to be honest. I think Kay Michelle was hilarious as usual. I think she's so funny, but I was like, nothing is happening here. I thought the fallout of Shamia and Portia would be more impactful. It wasn't. It's time to wrap this one up. Thankfully they are next week, so there's nothing for me to complain about. It's coming to an end. But yeah, we're just going to remind Bravo once again that sometimes less is more, because this season started off so well. I think the first three quarters of it was excellent, and everyone's like, it's back, it's back, it's back. And this is, to me, how you sort of kill momentum on a season that had a really strong start. It doesn't take away from how good the rest of the season was and how strong this cast is, but like, you know, Bravo, let's, you know, how about, if you take away four episodes from three different shows, you now have the budget to put a 12-episode show on, like Ladies of London or Real Housewives of Miami. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Take that advice.
It works like that, right?
You know, lose some and win some. That's what I say.
Exactly. Yeah.
But here we are. We're in the lawyer's office. Shamia's meeting with her lawyer. It's like how we all meet with our lawyers, with a bodysuit.
Yes.
You know, banging out all over the place. He's like, hello, lawyer. He's like, hello, man.
Seriously.
I'm your lawyer, Maximilian. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that name for a lawyer, like a good old fashioned 1950s play. Yeah. It's my lawyer, Maximilian. Let's tell those boys what they're going to be dealing with, Maximilian. This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
Maybe he was formerly a pop star, because there was that singer named Maximilian who famously had a one-hit wonder, which was just a cover of Marvin Gaye's song Sexual Healing. So like, it would not be crazy if he was like, oh, music didn't work out, I'm going to go into law representing Real Housewives trying to make their butt into a rum bottle. I see the trajectory personally.
Sexual healing, baby. Are horse hats, what do you call them? Horse helmets? Riding helmets? I don't know what you call them. Why is Shamia wearing a riding helmet? Why are people wearing riding helmets right now? Just out. Is that a thing? I guess it's a thing because we saw Kelly wearing one last week, and now Shamia is showing up in a horse riding helmet. I'm not really sure what that's about. Are we trying to bring horses back? Because there's a horse in this episode, too. I love horses, but listen, it does not make street cleaning easier. Horses poop and pee. Lots of it. I don't know that we need to bring horses back to the street. I don't know if that's what the show's trying to tell us, but I'm starting to get that.
You're like, are we bringing horse and buggies back? Are we going to have a rum bottle in the shape of a horse and buggy? Maximilian is spelled Max space A space million. That's the one hit wonder. This is Maximilian spelled in the classic style. So my dreams of there being some weird pop culture moment, like ensconced in the scene, die. And of course, I'm only thinking about this because who gives a fuck about what the scene is really about, which is Shamia and her rum. And by the way, shocker, it has gone down the path that we knew it would, which is never coming to fruition. Just being a fake story for Shamia.
Not only that, it's the worst fake story I've ever seen. I'm gonna look up rum bum rum, because this is what I do while I watch boring episodes of Housewives. This scene was going on, and I was like, I'm looking this up. Rum, it says, do you mean bamboo rum? So that's first of all. There is already a rum bum rum company, and it's an old white guy who sells it.
Okay.
You guys need to Google stuff before you try to come to market. You know what I mean? Like, people will support Rum Bum, and it is a rum, but it's already owned by a guy. And it's, I don't know if it's big or not, but I looked it up and I found it. I can't, of course, right now, but hold on. I have screenshots I'm going to show you. I know you're dying to know. What
I am dying.
Who really started Rum Bum?
Rum bum bum. I recently bought some Jamaican rum, and as in last week, I bought some overproof rum that's like 60 something. I don't know. It's like crazy because I had to. I'm actually recipe testing for an upcoming cookbook of someone's, and I had to make a Caribbean fruit cake that involved very intense rum. So what I'm trying to say is I'm kind of an expert on this topic now because
how did that fruit cake turn out? Because you were telling me about that last week. How did it turn out?
It's really good. It's like really, really good. It was different than like an American fruit cake because it had like a lot of bitter notes because you make this thing called burnt sugar that apparently is a Caribbean thing where you take turbinado sugar and you literally burn it and it's like this black. It's almost like blackstrap molasses. It's wild. So I loved it. I've never had such a bitter cake before in a way that was fascinating. But I'll let you all know what cookbook is for when the cookbook is announced.
Well,
it may not even make the cut.
I love that bitter cake.
Yeah.
So, I'm showing the website here for the original Rum Bum. Welcome to the original Rum Bum, the new home of everything rum powered by Snooki. So this guy's name is Snooki. And then if you go down to the bottom, it'll take you to the Instagram page.
His name is Snooki?
Which is Snooki, yeah. This like is him.
Snooki? Well, there he is.
Snooki. I'm calling him Snooki to differentiate it from Snooki. But yeah, it's this guy. So why? Google it. Google it before you come out with the whole business called the Rum Bum. Okay, come on.
Because it was never going to be a real business. That's why.
But why set yourself up to look like a huge fail? I don't understand.
That's Shamia's thing. She sets herself up to be a huge fail, and then afterwards she's like, you guys are like making fun of me because I don't know.
Do you think it's like a humiliation kink?
I think it's that way she could say that she did it even though she had no intention of truly doing it. And she can feel better about herself. She can feel like she's trying to do something with her life.
Well, we find out today that the lady, that the company that she's supposed to be doing this thing with sent back a contract. And instead of a partnership, they're like, no, we're not going to have a partnership. But you can buy, you know, a set amount of our rum for a discount. And she's like, so we're not on the same page. Giddy up. He's like, yeah, you're not on a horse. Well, No, you're not really riding a horse. Please take off the riding helmet. Okay. We're having a contract meeting here.
Yeah. And Shamia's like, you know, I understand the Nichols family has the contract and Clark's Court has been around since 1937 and it's a black owned company. And Afia was speaking with her dad, Mr. Nichols, and this is his baby. So I understand, but like, I'm this young budding entrepreneur and I'm able to see both sides of it. I mean, yeah, but it's also kind of like me saying, hey, a few people know who I am because I'm on a podcast. Coca-Cola, should we make a product together? Okay, and I'll head it up. It's like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
A lot of reality people and influencers will slap their name on a product. You know, like there's a ton of wines. You remember when Lisa Rinna was like, I came out with my own wine. She was slapping her name on some, you know, and it's something they do a lot. It's not just her, but that's a thing that happens. But it sounded like Shamia was trying to not just slap her name. She was trying to invest all of this money and have a partnership with this company. And this company's like, no, especially, and they show clips of this, especially after the meeting with her husband, when her husband, Gerald, was just going over every single point and calling out that none of this sounded correct or real.
Right.
And so I guess they were like, nah, we will not be doing it. But you guys are welcome to buy thousands of bottles of our rum. So, I mean, it was kind of sad, I guess.
Maybe they had a branding meeting and decided that selling their rum in bottles shaped like Shamia's butt was like not quite what their brand image was all about. Maybe that's what happened.
They're like, you know what? Let's partner with an older white guy and do something based on his butt. And it's just like my butt, you know, it's like a pancake butt. It's just pancakes because people are more likely to buy something shaped like a pancake than a butt.
Is that a truism in life?
I think so. What sells more, do you think, in this country? Pancakes or ass? Probably
I don't know. I mean, I think I actually think it's something ass shaped would sell better than something pancake shaped. Something like round that you just want to like maybe touch. Grab. It's like, think about like a Parker roll. If you see two Parker rolls sitting next to each other, you're like, ooh, look at those big puffy Parker. Are they called Parker rolls, Parker house rolls, whatever? If you think about them, you put them next to each other, it's just a whole bunch of butts, you know? Whereas a stack of pancakes, I mean, those do look good too. Obviously we want to talk about anything but this scene at this moment because it's so stupid.
But I would rather drink something that's like, oh, this could taste like pancakes, rather than, oh, this could taste like ass, you know?
I will say that. Like, I don't know if I want to drink. I don't want to buy a bottle of rum that comes out of a bottle that looks like a butt. I just don't. Because it's either gross.
I don't want your butt leakage.
Yeah, I just don't want to. And, like, also, like, I'm a gay man. I don't see the appeal of a rum bottle that's shaped like a woman's ass. If it was shaped like rippling abs of like a guy, I'd be like, sure, I'm down. But then guess what? The flip side is everyone else is like, well, I don't want to drink out of that. So the point is this, let's make it like an interesting shape. Yeah. Not necessarily like human anatomy.
That's fair. You don't want your food or beverage product to sound like a side effect of a prescription drug being sold on national TV, like anal leakage. We don't want that. We want just, I don't know. This is bad. This is bad, Shamia. Start over.
Yeah. And also, by the way, I'm joking about like, oh, I would drink rum out of a bottle that looked like a hot guy's torso. But truthfully, I wouldn't even do that because it just is all tacky. And it feels like the sort of thing that you would get off like at like a novelty shop off the side of the freeway. So yeah, this is a fail. Fail for me. Rum bum.
Yeah.
The name. Rum bum.
Well, I mean, now we go to a yoga thing.
Yes. Romantic yoga. So there's rose petals on mats. The lights are low. And K. Michelle and Dr. Kasten enter. And then they're going to be joined eventually by Angela and Charles. And while K. Michelle is getting ready to sit down on the mat, she's like hyper-focused on keeping her toes covered. And the producer's like, what is your obsession with people seeing your toes? And she's like,
well, my toes are long as hell, and I can play the piano with my toes, so I will never allow anyone in America to ever see those toes.
Such odd insecurities. I'm a person with, you know, a lot of body issues and stuff that I've worked on my entire adult life. And I feel like mine are pretty typical. I've never, ever in my life heard the long toe one. Like, I just don't want people to see my extremely long toes. So I guess I'll hand it over to her. Thankfully, they don't offer, I don't think, toe shortening surgery, because she'd be in there.
My toes are full of silicone.
I've thought of elbow skin surgery, you know, like the back of your arm, like getting cuter elbows.
Okay.
Yeah. Like an elbow lift. I've thought of that before, so I guess that's weird, but I don't know. Do they even do toes? Never thought about that. I did look at my toes more after this scene. I was like, are my toes okay? I mean, my feet are hideous in general, but I was like, I wonder how the length of my toes are. I should look this up. My toes are competitive in this market.
My toes seem to be reasonably long, but I'm not insecure about it. I'm just like, whatever. Their toes. So Kay Michelle is talking about that this yoga is supposed to bring intimacy and sexual healing. I mean, where's Max a million when you need him? Am I right, guys? Am I right? Call back already. It's just a Max a million kind of episode. God bless.
Sexual healing yoga, also something I don't need. It's just gross, like sweating cracks in people's faces. So they have to do different positions with their partner. And Charles is just like, what the fuck? This lady drags me on to the craziest shit. So they have to like hold up their legs and then spread them and hold them up there. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to be doing that. But just hand me those size 12s, he tells her.
Yeah, this class is being led by basically it's like two Earth Mother lesbians who it's like this is if you watch Real Sex on HBO in the 90s and you would turn it on thinking you're going to see something like really hot and really sexy and basically porn. And then you find out that like every episode of Real Sex is just like strange people in Key West, you know, doing some tantric shit. Like, that's basically what this was. That's what I felt like watching these two ladies, you know, performing their strange sexual yoga. I felt like that's what I was witness to.
Yeah, Real Sex is always... Real Sex was too real. Like...
Yeah.
Real sex, like watching people have sex, okay, that's one thing, like porn or whatever. But real sex is definitely like, okay, stand in line for hot dogs at the Costco and look around you. Those are the people you're going to be having sex on. You're going to be watching having sex on Real Sex. No.
Yeah. And like, and they'll be doing like in like weird ways. It's like some sort of like, it's definitely something where like little symbols are being like rung. And it's just, I feel like it's, everything's like in a yurt in New Mexico. And it's just, it's just a lot.
And they would do those little interview things like man on the street interviews. They'd be like, huh, how's your wife giving head? And he'd be like, yeah, she's a real throat goat.
I forgot about they had those little
chain
interviews.
Smoking. Ugh.
So provocative.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So they do this yoga. There's a lot of armpit hair all around. And then afterwards, now it's time for the women to settle in and, you know, talk shit.
Yes. So Angela, they're talking about Scotland and Shamia, of course. And Kay Michelle's like, well, you know, I don't know where she is because I haven't even talked to Shamia. So maybe it's deeper than all that. I just don't know what's wrong with her. And Angela's like, yeah, well, she's always acting like a victim. So whatever. She could just live with that. She can live in that. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And Kay Michelle's like, but that's my friend. So, you know, but I'm also very fair because after Scotland, it feels like me and Shamia are completely disconnected. And it hurts my feelings a lot because this is someone that I was talking to every day and also talking about every day and also deciding she wasn't my friend every day and also deciding she was my friend every day.
K. Michelle really excels. She's doing great in the talking head parts of this show. She's not doing as great in the group scenes. She either brings so much paranoia, like the first part of the season where she kind of went off the rails. And then after that, she settled in a bit to where she doesn't bring much at all. She just kind of sits there and watches. She's great in her confessionals. Where she's really excelling is in her interviews off the show. She says so much crazy shit. I saw a clip of one the other day where she's talking to a guy about how her son has a Mercedes now. He's driving around. She got him a Mercedes and they're in a huge fight and not speaking. And the guy's like, "Why are you not speaking?" And she said, "Because he went out and he wants to ride Uber. He wants to get a job with Uber. And who drives a Benz around as an Uber?" First of all, a lot of people do. They're called Uber Blacks usually. And they're a nice version of Uber. And he's like, "But why would you have a problem with your son wanting to have a job?" And she's like, "Because I can give him anything. I don't want him going out there and trying to get money. That's what he would get from me." And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't think I've ever heard a parent be like, "You will only rely on me and never get a job." She's on a different wavelength for sure.
Yeah, she's special. She's special. But you know, we love our kooky birds on The Real Housewives. That's for sure. So they basically, K. Michelle is just puzzled as to why Shamia brought up all the mom stuff at that dinner. And so she's like, "I'm going to have a face-to-face conversation with Shamia to be like, what's going on?" And, you know, she says, you know, she feels left out. She feels like she's been bullied. And Angela's like, "Whatever." And she's like, "But, you know, you're the one who's hurting people. And, you know, she's the weapon is in your hand. And so until she, you know, figures out that part, she'll be the victim in her own mind."
And then the victims of our eyes are us, because now we're going to another Housewives photo shoot for no reason. This one is for Portia and her daughter, Baby Pickles, to do a photo shoot really dressed up. I don't know why, but they're doing it. So they do a photo shoot. And of course, Lauren, her sister, assistant, kind of lead ass kisser, is there and just smiling and nodding and being like, "Oh my God, you're so beautiful." And then we get to settle in for the conversation about Portia's love life. Whatever is she going to do? Is it going to be Big Mike or Sway?
This actually really annoys me. I have to say, this really, really annoys me, because this storyline, it's one thing for the storyline to be fake. Like, okay, she has like a fake romantic partner. But like, now you're asking us to care about what choice you're going to make after a whole season where, like, first of all, you've seen Mike 2 times. You clearly have no chemistry with him. You don't even really like the guy. And every scene with him is so blatantly fake. You obviously like Sway. You're into Sway. You're feeling Sway. And you're going to have us sit here and be like, "Oh, wow, what's Portia going to do?" Like, you know this is fake. And we know this is fake. Why are you wasting our time with this? And this is the thing that always gets me about Portia, is that she is a A-plus Real Housewife who very frequently gives us D-minus storylines. And I don't know why she does this to us all the time. Please, Portia, like, I want more from you than this stupid dilemma of Mike and Sway.
Yeah, you know, she's too practiced. She's been doing it for so long that she knows how to kind of work. It's like, now it's the end of the season. It's time to choose. I need to have a big choose. It's a snooze. It's a snooze. So now we move over to conversation of Scotland, and Portia finds out that Shamia is having a Halloween party because Shamia invited her. And she's like, "I'm not going to that fucking thing. Is she kidding? She asked me to do a mold of my ass." What? So apparently Shamia's invitation in part is asking all the women to get molds made of their ass. And I guess she's sending people to their homes to do this. That's a no from me.
A big no. Big no. And on top of that, she had this terrible fight with Portia in Scotland. And she texted Portia and said, "Hi, Portia. In preparation for my Halloween party on Friday, I'd love to send my bum casting lady to your home to create your rum bum mold. She's available all day tomorrow. Would you be interested in participating in the bum match contest?" How do you not say, by the way, it's "Hi, Portia" with an exclamation point. Be like, "Hey, Portia, I know we had a big fight. And I know this is a big ask considering, but if like, I'm hoping you can put that to the side and like do this for me, yada, yada, yada. But she's just like, hey, Portia, can you do a mold for me? Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Portia's a hell no on that. I mean, listen, you want a mold of my ass? A, no. I saw my ass the other day. I turned around and looked at it. Nobody else needs, I didn't even need to see it. It's just not, no. The answer is no. But then to make it worse, you're going to have a ass contest and then you're going to put my ass up there next to everybody else's ass. Are you trying to be my friend? Because no, I'm going to call the police. No. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah, she's not trying to be our friend. No way. No way whatsoever. So Portia is like telling Lauren about this. She's like, I'm not going to that bullshit. Now we see what's happening elsewhere around Atlanta. Pinky's daughter, Della, is recording a song into a mic saying,
it's my birthday, it's my birthday, it's my birthday.
Which is great. And then we see there's a photo shoot for Fangie that's coming along. And over at Phaedra's house, Aiden's getting ready to go to a dance. So, you know, lots of exciting things happening around the city.
Yeah. So Kay meets up with Shamia, and Shamia's like, wow, so great to see you. Loved all the music that you sent to me. It's amazing. Oh my God, what a hit album you've got. Wow, what a nice casual lunch where we're just going to be best friends, huh? And Kay Michelle's like, okay, listen, we need to talk about this, okay? We need to talk about what happened. What is going on with you? And she's like, it felt like there was a lot of separation in Scotland. And she's like, yeah, a lot of fighting for my life. She goes, well, you know, it takes real friends to say things when you don't want to seem self-destruct. And that's what I'm going to do for you. Because I see you with this fuck the world attitude. You know, there was a fun loving Shamia. Where's that girl? I don't see her no more. Where is she? Bring her back to me.
If the real Shamia is in there, please say hello. Say, please blink twice.
Now, this is the whole thing of the second half of the season is what's really going on with Shamia. And I feel like we're not getting there, right? We have, maybe in the finale, we'll get to it, but we have not found out what is going on with Shamia. Why is she so upset? So Kay Michelle says,
what I want most for Shamia is for her to smile. You have other people that really love you, and I don't want Shamia's failed friendship to become who she is.
And she basically is like, you know, when it comes to Portia, you know, you came out of nowhere. You came like really low and really fast. You know, we're sitting at a dinner table and you bring up this woman's child. And she goes, well, should I have just posted it on social media? She's like, no, but like, you say that this, you're saying that the father of this child has basically been sneaking the child to you and her husband. So yeah, well, how do you expect her to react? Like, do you know how mad you would be?
Yeah, and Shamia's like, but she said my mom bought her mom's daycare center, and that's not something a friend would do. You started it. You did it on camera, which is what she responded to on Instagram, Shamia. And she's like, you know, she made it out that my mom's a shady person, but she didn't even say how we got to that point because they weren't even friends prior to that. And Portia and I agreed years ago that we wouldn't let our parents' friendship affect ours. So I'm like, if you're going to tell the story and you're going to put it out there, then put it all out there. For some reason, a year later at a dinner where we weren't even arguing.
Yeah. And so Shamia's like, I feel like everyone's picking up at just the dinner. When this started last year, I felt sadness because I knew it was probably the ending of a friendship. People don't understand that shit was like a divorce because like Portia was my person. I'm going to therapy just for navigating this group. It's like a lot.
Yeah. So she's crying about Portia again. But that's not how you make up with somebody. So then she's like, you know, you can't meet wrong with wrong. And Shamia says, well, but then if I don't meet wrong with wrong, then I've still fucked up and everybody still hates me. Like, I can't win. I just can't win. I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think she just has to move forward at this point. Just move forward. I think she should actually lean into like, fuck her. Fuck that bitch. Because I think Shamia's problem is that she keeps on kind of declaring that she's taking the high road. And you know what? Don't take the high road. Just live your life. And if Portia acts crazy, you just clap back. And that's just the way it's going to be. And I think actually everyone will probably respect Shamia more if she's a little bit more authentic to how she really feels than her just saying, like, I'm going to bite my tongue. Like, no one on this show, I think, actually respects that. So Shamia is basically saying, you know, but by the way, I did invite her to the Halloween party. And K. Michelle's like, well, so what did she say? And Shamia's like, she reads the text that says,
girl, I'm not coming to your damn party. You are sick as fuck. Please move along. Enjoy.
It's the proper response, I believe.
Yeah. And K. Michelle's like, well, I'm not coming either. I'm a Christian Methodist Episcopal. And I'm not going to be worshiping no devils and demons and dressing up like them and none of that. I will not partake in this evilness going on.
It's like, well, I didn't grow up celebrating Halloween either. I mean, we had Hallelujah night. She's
like, well, my mama's still a Bible school teacher.
She's like, yeah, I can understand that.
And we have Hallelujah Halloween for small toed people, which I definitely am. Don't look.
I love when people get really religious and then handpick their morals. I mean, we see it every day, especially in the news and politics, which we're seeing right now. But K. Michelle is hilarious. Like, I'm going to go to a Halloween party. I'm very religious. Meanwhile, she does another interview I was reading. I really was on a K. Michelle kick, where she was saying she does, and this one's older, but she was saying that she doesn't even care if her man cheats on her or get sex elsewhere as long as he's not paying bills for the woman that he's dating. It's like, but you won't go to a Halloween party?
You know?
And I'm not even dissing the way you want to have your relationship. I'm just saying you won't dress up and get some free candy? Like, where are the lines? You know what I mean? Get the candy. Choose candy. Get the candy. Is my point.
Choose candy. Choose some Mike and Ike's. Get those peanut butter cups, those little snack-sized peanut butter cups, which I would argue is the best ratio of chocolate to peanut butter of the entire Reese's Pieces peanut butter cup line, followed by the big cup. And last place, of course, is the normal size one.
I'll tell you what's even better. A scoop of peanut butter covered in some chocolate or with chocolate chips. Just get some chocolate chips and eat that together.
I'll put some not chocolate chips on
peanut butter, which I like. Also, I wanted to tell you, it's extremely important. I tried the new M&Ms.
Which new M&Ms?
They sound ridiculous, and I felt bad for even trying them, but they're the banana nut bread peanut M&Ms. Love them.
Really?
I would have just called them banana peanut M&Ms and not banana nut bread, because nut bread seems like bread. Well, how is that going to fit? But it's a peanut M&M with banana flavor.
I find that banana flavoring is gross usually in candy. I like banana. I just literally had a banana smoothie right here. But banana flavoring is usually a tripwire for me. I will try it. I would love to try an M&M, but I am famously on my Kinder Bueno path at the moment, and that's really all I do is I eat Kinder Buenos, which, by the way, you put them in some ice cream. I had a moment with put some Kinder Buenos, mix it into some Jenny's ice cream, and I'll tell you, I was a happy man. Kinder Buenos are great with ice cream because they're very like thin and fragile, so they don't get hard with the cold. It's just like a perfect mix in. Is there anything a Kinder Bueno can't do? And no, this podcast is actually not sponsored by Kinder Bueno, but maybe someday it will be. I don't know. That's my pitch. Anyway, speaking of pitch, let's talk about Pooch. Pooch Hall, because Drew is on the phone with Pooch, former co-star. You may remember him from The Game or various other commercials. And Drew is, she's rehearsing with Pooch. And she's talking about how, like, you know, the characters on The Game, it was like a big deal and it was a spicy storyline. And she was famous for breaking up some of the characters, as evidenced by, we had a flashback to What's Her Face in 2020 being like, you broke up Derwin and Derwin and Drew, or Derwin and whoever. I didn't watch The Game, but anyway, Pooch Hall.
The point is, Drew is doing theater. She's a theater person now. So yes, we see her playing sounds more like a fun thing instead of work, but that's how actors talk about it, guys. We're not going to work today, we're going to play. Okay. Yeah. And she talks about how she wants that EGOT ultimately. So then we go to...
Which, by the way, that was my that was the best part of the scene, by the way, was Drew and her team putting their hands together and being like, EGOT. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Drew, at the moment that Drew Sidora gets an EGOT, I don't know. I don't know what that means for our world, but I will be...
got about four more awards to be even considered for to get close to that one.
Yeah, that's the thing. They have to, let's get a foot in the toe. Let's just get a people's choice. Let's start with the people's choice and then let's move on to what's the, probably a G. A G is next. I think that goes G-E-T-O is I think probably the order of difficulty.
Now we go to a new house and Portia has bought Miss Diane a new place. So she talks about how proud she is to buy her mom a house. Miss Diane's crying and running all over the house, not running, but you know, she's in her heels. So she's clomping,
crashing
around the house. And it's cute.
Yeah, it's very nice. Portia's happy to give back because, you know, Diane has sacrificed so much over the years. And, you know, especially as someone whose childcare was stolen from her, it's nice that she could finally get a house of her own.
And it's all paid off, which is amazing. And I'm really glad my parents aren't watching this show, you know?
Why is that?
Where's my house that's completely paid off? You know, I don't want to hear it. So stay not watching the show, parents. So then we go over to Shamia's Rum Bum launch. And it's Halloween. So she's dressed up like Avatar, which is kind of fitting because I made it about 10 minutes through that new movie. And I really wanted to see it for years and years. They were making it. I couldn't wait for it. And then it finally came and I was like, I don't need more than the first one.
Yeah, I don't even know if I need the first one. I think I have never seen such a profitable franchise have such little impact on pop culture. Like Avatar is like a thing and it pretty much exists for people to dress up as on Halloween. And there's like Disney has a whole section in Disney World for Avatar that I think they thought Avatar was going to be more culturally relevant. But Avatar is just this big thing that we all know about, but literally no one cares about. It's just funny. Year after year, people dress up like Avatar. But, you know, it's like, oh, who are you supposed to be? I don't know. One of the blue people from Avatar. Like, no one knows even who the characters are. No, there's no famous
lines.
I think
a lot of people do. It's just maybe we're not the target audience because, I mean, that movie made like a trillion, zillion, kabillion dollars. Even the second one. I thought, well, this one will probably bomb. But it didn't. It didn't.
They're all doing very well. So, they do very well.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying they don't like, they have, I feel like they have zero pop culture like infiltration. There's no like famous lines or like, it's like, I see you. Is that the big line? I see you. I see you.
I don't remember. I saw the first one, but it was so many years ago and it was so technologically advanced for the time, you know, the stuff that he was doing with it and people hadn't seen that stuff before. And then it took, 20 years or something to come out with the next one? I don't know how long. I'm just making shit up.
Yeah.
But it took forever to come out with the sequel. And by the time they came out with the sequel, the technology had kind of caught up. So it wasn't as impressive to see the second one. But I don't know. That was just how I felt. Also, I was bored. I need more like murder. Not that there is not, you know, a bunch of sadness in that, but like I need more mystery. I don't know what it was, but I was over it. So that's how Shamia is dressed today. So it kind of works.
Shamia is actually perfect that Shamia is dressed like Avatar because she is in many ways just an avatar for a Real Housewife. She's just sort of like hitting all the notes of what a housewife should do. And also she does kind of have that sort of, you know, audience connection issue that I feel like Avatar has always had. So it is the perfect costume for her.
And she's worth $1 trillion, just like Avatar. So it's crazy. It's all of the things kind of work. So then she's dancing around in her confessional, being like, yes, it's my business. Man, I really wanted Rum Bum to make its mark tonight. Yeah. I want people to sample all of it. You know, maybe this can be my apology to making them feel uncomfortable or whatever. And Scott, there is no Rum Bum. Do you remember that you just shot a scene?
Yeah.
That this company is not happening. You don't have it.
Well, guess what? Here comes her business partner, Afia, and she says, okay, so we're going to still keep our partnership, but we're just separating everything because there's a bunch of stuff in one contract, so it's all coming. So this lady is like, oh, yeah, no, we'll still do it, which it's not going to happen.
She's just coming to get publicity for her own liquor company.
Yeah. See, they're right. Smart. What are they called? Clark Street, Clark Court. They're smart. Because they got to be on this TV show. They got exposure. And then they could peace out before needing to do any obligations. And meanwhile, Shamia's there just holding a butt-shaped bottle. So then Shamia's saying that we see people tasting the rum. And they're like, oh, this is actually good rum. And they're like, wow, it's actually good. Yeah, because it's from a brand that's been around since 1937. They know what they're doing. Shamia did not make this rum. I mean, I guess maybe they added the peach flavors. But everyone likes it. And then Shamia's like, oh, good. Gerald likes it. I was worried that he wouldn't like it. You know, one thing that we kind of glossed over in her first scene was that, like, she was really upset because when it looked like this rum bum thing wasn't going to be happening, Gerald was going to be really mad and be like, I told you so, which just goes to show they have a great relationship.
Yeah.
So much love and support.
But she's also spending a ton of his money to do it, you know? I mean, I think it's like within his rights to be like, this sounds like bullshit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't you?
Yeah. I mean, if it's like, oh, wow, you just... Like, I warned you about going to business with this situation and you still went forward and I've spent a lot of money and you still did this and now it's not working out. Like, this is sort of frustrating for me because I tried to give you my business acumen and you wouldn't listen. However, that's assuming that conversation happened. If he just was like, no, I don't want you to do this because you're the mother of my children and you need to do that instead, then that's a different story. I guess we'll never know.
Yeah. It's going to keep me up at night. So don't worry. The other thing that's really on all of our minds, she is loving fucking her husband. Okay. She got that in there today. Yeah. She's like, I'm laying down with Gerald Mwangi every night. Yeah. Then she like does a dance. And like, we know. So then Cynthia comes in. She's dressed like glue because she is the glue that keeps the group together.
I love this move that like the most beautiful people pull off, which is that they always go into the ugliest costumes. It's like Heidi Klum showing up as that like slug one year for her Halloween party. Remember, she was like a slug or a maggot or something. It's like Sierra always dressing up as like some crazy old person for Summer House. Now it's Cynthia, like, you know, she's just like in this big floppy glue costume that was so cute. That's the ultimate flex. When you're so hot, you don't need to do the costume to sell that you're so hot.
It's also another horse reference, because isn't glue made out of horses or something like that? It's made out of horse hoofs or something, right?
I don't know, but did you hear that Elmer's glue is coming out with butt-shaped glue bottles? I was like, wow, what an interesting choice. That would actually be kind of funny. A little squeeze bottle where you're just squeezing a butt. It's a little sexual harassy, but it's kind of funny.
Some sticky butt. Glue ass coming soon.
The visuals are getting weirder and weirder.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Everyday glue is not made from horses today. Modern glues are synthetic. Old practices, they used to make it. Sometimes they would send horses to rendering facilities to make traditional animal or hide glue. So there you go.
Oh. So this costume,
I know everybody's wondering,
safe.
But yeah, I was like, wow, it's another horse thing. Clue. So then they're talking about Scotland again. And Shamia says she invited everyone and everyone said they were coming except for the big old fuck you one. I'll make that sound effect myself. I don't know if the producers are even paying attention to me at this point. Sorry if I offended you.
She's self-tsing. We've heard of self-producing, but we've never heard of self-tsing. Meanwhile, we cut over to a bowling alley where Portia's on a double date with Kay Michelle. I think this is the same bowling alley. I feel like Kenya had a date here once back in the day with Mark. It looked familiar. I was like, I recognize those white banquettes. Or maybe it was Nini. These are questions that are appealing to no one, not even to myself, and yet I'm asking them here on the podcast. But
what Kay Michelle bowling alley is that?
I was like, we've been
to the bowling alley before. Hey, stranger, you come here often? See, right?
I need to know that.
So K. Michelle and Portia are not going to the party. So they have a double date instead. And they talk about the Halloween party a little bit. And Portia's like, yeah, Jesus said no. Why would I go to that? And she's like, well, why did you send that girl that text message? I mean, like a nice lady, she invited you to her Halloween party. And she's like, she showed you my text again? What is wrong with her?
She is a habitual text shower. Like, what the hell is wrong with this girl? By the time you talk about Diane, but like, by the time you talk about Diane Pilar, my child's father, my ex-husband, me, what do you expect?
And Kate Michelle's like,
well, just don't bring the old Porsche back because we had the income and former crash out, healing, doing all this and that.
She's like,
girl, it's World War III.
It's like, yeah, the old Porsche, I don't give a fuck about old Porsche right now. It's on between me and Shamia.
So now they're making small talk with Mike. Like, how are you enjoying dating Porsche, Mike? He's like, I'm in love with Porsche. She's like, oh, whoa, God. What? Oh, God. Yeah, he's like, yeah, so... Portia, I think now's the time to have the talk. Where is this relationship going? Okay, Mike. Yeah. Mike. This is like the worst actor they've brought on this show. And that's really saying something. We had Walter, okay? This guy's terrible.
This guy is terrible. Plus, also, he has one of those beards that I like to call a Nintendo Mii beard. Like, when you're creating your Mii on the old Nintendo Wii and you get to, like, put, like, facial features on. And it's like, do you want a beard? Here's a beard. Because it's like... It's like that hard line between skin and beard. And like certain guys just do that rather than have like a nice like blend. And it looks literally like he had like Nintendo paste this beard on. Like it's just like it's just there. I'm like, blend it. I hate the hard line on a beard.
So he wants to have his big relationship talk now because I think he senses this is his last scene for the season. So he doesn't care if it's in front of other people. He's just going to do it. She's like,
yeah, I'm not having that discussion in front of other people. Okay.
He's like, okay, well, I guess we'll go bowling. So the guys give them some time to talk.
You're at a bowling alley. That's exactly what you'll do.
And Portia's like, well, I mean, I like him, but I'm dating someone else, you know?
So, and I do like him, but I did see a different side of him today.
Like, who does this? So, yeah, that fake storyline is hopefully done.
Yeah, it's just so stupid. So back over at the Rum Bum launch, there's three flavors of rum to have. Peach, Tropical Punch, and Kahlua or Bailey's. Yes. So they're all trying it. And Phaedra walks in and she's dressed like the Godfather, which is kind of funny. And she gets a whole musical intro as she sort of comes on in. And Kelly arrives and she's brought Jarvis and he's wearing a mask, like an Iron Man mask, and also like a balaclava underneath it because Kelly's trying to keep him anonymous. And what's actually so funny to me is that like the mask, all you see are these like, these eyes, these sort of like trapezoids or like these parallelograms of light, you know, and that's it. And it seems so like mysterious and not foreboding, but like sort of withdrawn. And who is this strong but silent person? And then throughout the rest of the episode, he's just there in his mask, just be like, oh yeah, that's hilarious. Oh, he's like super, super animated in a way that I was not expecting someone wearing that mask to be.
Yeah, so she tells us he's got to stay hidden because she doesn't want anyone to know who he is because she doesn't want people going up and asking this man for teeth, you know, which I don't really blame her. Once you find out that there is a source of teeth, you're going to go ask, you know. So she's going to keep him a big secret. And then guess who shows up? It's a shock. She is basically betraying the Lord, but she's here. It's K. Michelle, guys.
Yeah. She came because she's like,
you know, Cassin said, come on, you really need to go support Shamia. And this is some sort of rich devil, but I'm going to support her trying to be the breadwinner of a house that's already paid for.
She's like, okay, I will support you, even though you literally don't need this.
So Shamia gives a speech, and well, not a speech, but all the ladies gather together. And she's like, you guys, thanks so much for coming to Rumbum. Yes. Now, Scotland was a little heavy. I apologize for my part in anything that was cringy or uncomfortable. I didn't want to make you guys feel uncomfortable, but it happened. And I apologize. Okay. And everyone's just looking around at each other.
Like, another great apology from Shamia. Yeah. So personal. She's so good with that personal touch. I'd like to address the entire crowd, and if to anyone who may have been upset at anything that happened in Scotland for my part in what may have been a thing, if you are upset by that, I do apologize.
People who got upset for what was done to me, whoever here felt victimized about what was done to me publicly, I guess I'm kind of maybe if sorry, though. Possibly. So no one's really buying it. And Phaedra asks if she's spoken to Portia. And she's like, no, but I sent everybody an invite. And, you know, she responded with what she said, like it was a fuck off kind of a vibe. And Cynthia's like, well, clearly, under the circumstances, her response meets the situation. It really does.
I love Cynthia's disdain for Shamia. It's like so right there. And she's being so chill about it, but like she clearly has run out of patience for anything that Shamia is doing.
And even Pinky is like, yeah, that was a whole new low. That was pretty bad. And Drew says, well, it goes deeper and deeper. And I don't think we want to be a part of that. And we don't want to see it go deeper. And so Kelly steps in to stand up for her. And she's like, okay, but everybody was crickets when your best friend, you know, said that she was sleeping with her husband. And then we see Ashley. So we meet George's husband, Ashley, who is young and gorgeous and clearly, you know, clearly with George for his money. I'm sorry. K. Michelle says it in a minute, but I think anybody saw Ashley and was like, oh, so George is rich. George is getting a lot of accidents. Isn't he an accident billboard guy?
I think so.
She a lot of accidents happening in Atlanta, and George is representing all of them.
Yeah. She's wearing like a green Tinkerbell kind of costume that matches his beard and the whole nine yards. So basically
he's the Riddler, which is kind of funny. He's like the Riddler from Batman. I thought she was like a girlfriend of the Riddler, but yeah, that makes more sense. She was wearing wings, right?
I think so. There's some sort of doesn't matter. Basically here, what Kelly is saying is like, wow, you thought it was so like, you're like, oh my God, Shamia, you went so low. How could you go so low? And yet when Angela goes low with Shamia, no one jumps in and says, Angela, you went so low. But the difference is that Angela was just clearly just like trying to stir something up to create a scene. Whereas Shamia was airing generational issues between two families in a way that was just deeper and darker. And so it was a nice try, Kelly, but you're wrong on that one.
I think what Angela did was dead ass wrong, actually. I think what she did was horrible. And they did kind of call her out. I mean, I guess if there's a difference to moi, it's that Angela was actually fighting. Like, she had an ongoing current fight with Shamia, whereas Portia doesn't. Like, the fight with Shamia and Portia was done already. They fought, you know, they did the whole reunion last year with it. Then they came back, and then they decide Shamia tried to come in with it again to start. And Portia was like, no, let's start over. Let's just start from a new place. So this whole season has been like, we're moving forward, and Shamia just keeps bringing it back to that.
Yeah.
So I thought that was the most annoying thing. But yeah, Angela's lying ass was dead ass wrong too. And she still tries it today.
I mean, Angela was wrong, but I think in the context of this show, people hurl those sort of accusations all the time. The season opened with Portia doing that to Kelly. And of course, you could say, well, Portia was retaliating for what Kelly said on the after show, but like this happens all the time on this show, so it doesn't mean that it's right, but it's not out of the norm, so it doesn't really raise any eyebrows amongst the cast anymore. Whereas what Shamia did was like just felt like it came, you know, what Shamia's thing feels almost like it came from more of a real place. Because I think they all sort of know, okay, well, it's on the show. We're gonna hurl some accusations. It's not right that we do it, but we're gonna hurl some accusations because that's what the show requires. But then when Shamia brings it up, it's like, oh, you're going into something like generational that deals with people's moms, and like, oh, you're doing lasting damage here. This is not just like some petty tabloidy thing.
Yeah, so they move this conversation over to Ashley, who they've invited to this party for the drama, right? So Ashley's side of it is, Angela called me, and she asked if me and Shamia are cool, and I'm like, yeah, we're cool. And she was like, oh, well, I need some tea on her. And I was like, well, I don't have tea. And K. Michelle says, Angela asked you that? She's like, yes, she did. So then Angela comes in and she's like, okay, so we're talking. Angela sits down and she's like, okay, so we're talking to Ashley, my friend, about why I felt like you were doing your own investigation and about how it wasn't cool to have stuff like that thrown out there that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm. And Ash is like, yeah, but so when you called and asked about tea on Shamia, I just didn't have the tea for you. But like, you also used my husband's name in something that was like also false about Shamia. And I don't appreciate that. And Angela's like, okay, so you're saying that I asked for tea. I just asked, do you know Shamia? And she goes, well, for me, that's tea. If asking like, do I know her? She's okay, well.
Okay. Automatic Ashley is a liar then. Because Ashley just said 2 seconds ago, she called me and said, do you know Ashley? I need some tea on her. She did not say that, Ashley.
Yeah. Well, they're being very semantics-y because now Angela's like, do you know her? Apparently, and Ashley's now interpreting that as like, oh, you want to get the tea on her. That's why you're asking. So Angela goes, well, let's take this back. Okay. Let me lay something out that's very clear for everyone here and everyone watching to follow. Now, she said that I said that you said that she was fucking your husband, and I didn't say that. I was like, she said that I said that she said this is it. I was like, how did Angela even track through that entire sentence there?
She said that I said that you said that she was fucking your husband. Shamia's like, you did. So Angela's like, well, Shamia told you that I said that you said it. Shamia's lying to you. Pinky's like, oh my God, I'm too drunk to figure out what they're talking about. This is too much. And Kelly jumps in again and she's like, baby, that lie is just as short as that heel.
And Angela's like, and it's as short as your lease on your house because this is your landlord, Shamia. I love when they just pull something random and they're like, aha. So Kelly is like, well, you don't know anything about my lease, Officer Oakley. She goes, well, you don't have a husband or a house, Kelly. She's like, fuck your husband. Don't even want to wake up with you in the morning. He's like, well, he's right outside because he's just sitting there waiting for her to be done with the party so they can like go off to dinner.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going in there. I will not be going in there. Thank you. So Cynthia's like, okay, listen, everybody. Ashley wants to speak now. Let's see what Ashley has to say. And Ashley's like, this lie, George and Shamia having a sexual relationship, that's a complete lie. And Angela says, like today or previously? Oh, Angela. She's like, never. He's never had a relationship with her.
So Angela's like, respectfully, honey, his name precedes you and what he's done in the streets precedes you. So anything I brought up preceded you. So I was not trying to disrespect you. Like, okay,
like,
so
he's now here. George is here. He's literally standing at the entrance eating all the candy as people come in. Okay, get George over here. So they bring George over and he's like, hey, it's me, George. Okay, accidents are terrible, but if they happen, here's my card.
Yeah. So Jamia's like, she's saying that you and I had a sexual relationship. And Angela says, well, in history. And I said that you said that what when you mattered her, you had to pay her. And he's like, oh my God. She's like, don't you remember saying that? He's like, well, I would never have said that because number one, I never said it.
And, but you did say it. You did say it. You said it at your event. And he goes, I never. Oh, I know what you mean. No. And Ashley's like, but even if he did say it, he didn't say it in a way where, like, she's got to give you some pousse-say to get some money. That's not what he meant. Okay, what was said, George? What was said? He's like, I did a joke. I mean, I was lit. It was a joke at my event. I was lit. Okay? George, you're not helping. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, I think we deduced that he probably said something like, I mean, she's so beautiful. Of course I had to support her charity. She's so, like, the joke is like, wow, like, you're being, like, it's like a flirty joke, but it's kind of like a complimentary joke in a weird way. I can see it just being a true nothing, and Angela has now elevated it to like levels of prostitution.
Right. And George is not helping because he's like, I don't know. I don't even know what I said. I was drunk, but it was a joke. Okay. So you're a terrible witness. Okay. Yeah. So then Cynthia's like, oh, so then Angela wasn't lying because you could have said it jokingly. And Shamia's like, no, Angela was lying. And Drew's like, Angela is vindicated.
Angela is vindicated. It's just been such a long process, and I'm really glad to see that Angela has been vindicated.
So, this just goes on for a while. And K. Michelle goes,
after seeing him and seeing her, Ashley, this is about money, because there is no way you're with that little pudgy, bald-headed man because you love him. It is not that much love in America.
K. Michelle just always comes out and says it.
She does, but K. Michelle, I mean, you're dating... You're dating life.
Yeah. I mean, Castan is
stones, glass house, you know. So then Phaedra's like, okay, is this tabled now? How is this tabled? We didn't even get an answer. I mean, I'm glad it's tabled. But still, Angela's like, well, every time we table something, we try to rebuild and I get ambushed again.
So Shamia's like, well, I would love for us to get to a respectful space. But even just now she says, oh, I would like to accept an apology and or move forward. But she's just like going to stab me in the back. And I'm not calling, asking about or tea of any of y'all. Okay. I don't want to call around looking for it. So Angela's like, well, it's not around. I walked out the door. I didn't go far. I walked next door. I wasn't looking around for tea. It was just my neighbor.
And then Kelly tries it again. She's like, oh my God, you guys are just as short as Angela's heels. I'm killing it, you guys. I've had that one in my back pocket. Did you guys get that on camera this time? We got it, Kelly. We got
Should
it.
I mention Horsha again? Horsha? Greatest hits.
So now we go to Rum Bum competition. So this was pretty funny because they start lifting up these plaster asses. And they're like, okay, guess whose ass this is? So the best part was they lift one up and they're like, whose ass is this? And Drew's like, ew, that ass is disgusting. That's not my ass. They start accusing each other of this ass. Who was it? Her and Pinky?
I think Pinky was like, that's my ass. No, Pinky was the one. Pinky was very much like, oh, that's definitely my ass.
It was Kelly and Drew. So Kelly and Drew, they lift up one ass and Kelly was like, ew, that ass is definitely Drew's. And Drew's like, that is not my ass. That ass is gross. It's definitely Kelly's ass. You guys, one of you is dissing your own ass. This game is just, it's just a trick. Do you see? Yeah. I knew it was a trick. It's just put a bunch of asses up there so everybody can be rude about each other's ass.
Yeah, so they talk about their asses and everything, and they're sort of going through it, and I'm like, oh, God, how long is this going to go on for? And then all of a sudden, Gerald, like, activates, and he's like, hello, everyone. I hate to interrupt this competition, but we are all bored here, so here's something to divert our attention. There's a very big surprise out front. So everyone's like, oh my God, did Gerald buy Shamia a new car? What's going to be in the parking lot? And then
I think we all thought it was going to be that. But Gerald, you know that Shamia just sent people around 4 days to get molds of people's ass just to have this big game. And you interrupt it purposely to shift focus to someone else. There is something fishy about this guy in the marriage, for sure.
I did think it was weird that, like, for the first time all season, he decides to actually participate in something in a significant way, and it was interrupt this stupid scene. I mean, I was grateful for it, but I also thought the timing was really strange on that. So they go,
but he's taking the attention from Shamia after she put a lot of work to get attention for herself in this episode, and he knows it, and he's purposely interrupting. I don't know. I didn't like it. So sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, no, it's fine. They go out to the driveway or something, and it's this guy named Terry bringing a horse for Drew, and we keep on seeing Drew's hairstylist Walter. And we're seeing this guy, like, Walter and Drew. And I was like, it was so fast and so confusing. And then Drew has to fill it all in for us. She goes, well, I met this guy, Terry, and he was invited to the skate party. Then Walter convinced me to go on a date with this guy, and he's a no-show. And then, like, it was, like, so embarrassed. I was, like, humiliated. And now here we are, and, like, he's here with a horse. I'm, like, so mad at Walter. Drew thinks there's a whole storyline going on because they shot the scene where she was stood up. She thinks there's a whole storyline about her and this guy, Terry. And she thinks this is going to be a scene where it's like, oh my God, he did this big epic thing for me, or oh my God, how could you think he could win me back? But the way that the chips have fallen is that like there's no context. We have not been watching this relationship unfold on TV as just this bizarre cutaway moment with a person we've barely ever met with a horse and someone from her entourage smiling.
It really is weird because they introduced Terry at the skate party because they were trying to hook Drew up and she was like, oh, and he wasn't great. But we didn't see the date, I don't think. But also how she worth it. She's like, he stood me up at the date. But then we see a clip of it and Drew gets the restaurant. They're like, he left. So I was like, well, how late did Drew show up? So he came to the date and then he left. So he didn't really just stand her up, at least how they worded
it. I missed that.
I don't know. It's so weird. And then he's got this horse and she's like, what am I supposed to do with a horse? But then everybody else is like, clearly she rented a horse to have this.
Yeah. And K. Michelle goes,
no one believes it, Drew. You rented it out and you're acting like it just showed up for you. You got to better produce.
I howled at that because it's the first time ever I feel like it's been addressed on camera on one of these shows, like you are producing right now. Like, I mean, at reunions it happens, but like to actually have it like, oh, you tried to, you are a bad self-producer. This is just,
yeah, this is bad and also hilarious. I was cracking up at the scene. I thought it was so funny. And then Shamia, I was happy actually for Shamia because she got to end with a line that I actually agreed with. So it was nice for her because she said, you know, I would say the only hiccup was Drew and the horse. I mean, you don't bring horses to somebody else's house. That's the best point you've made all season. Like, who does that?
Yeah. And she says, let me be delusional and think that y'all had fun. That was actually, I thought, what you were going to say. That she's like, I know everyone hated this, but let me just pretend like it was a fun party. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's that one. I don't know what's going to happen next week. But
something.
So something's gonna happen. They did it. They shot it. So we will see you next time, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We'll talk to you guys later on Amazon Live today and tonight at 5:30 Pacific time for Crappy Hour. Talk later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber Way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets an A from us. It's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharaus.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.